should build trust and get united. We must distinguish between our friends and enemies.
After taking power in August, the Taliban leaders have repeatedly held talks with the Shia community, seeking their support and allegiance. Shia Afghans support an Islamic government, but believe it must be an inclusive one. They want to see people in power who make Afghanistan a safe place for all. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
As the world marks International Day of Epidemic Preparedness, Gaza's health sector continues to suffer due to the hermetic Israeli blockade in place since 2007. On Sunday, the Ministry of Health in Gaza announced the discovery of the first case of Omicron COVID variant in the blockaded enclave. Around 1,700 Gazans have already died because of the coronavirus since last year. The Gaza Strip, which is one of the world's most densely populated areas, has recorded nearly 190,000 COVID-19 infections since May 2020.
We have discovered the first case of the Omicron variant in the Gaza Strip, and this indicates that this variant was now spreading among the population. The discovery poses a new challenge to the enclave's weak health system. Omicron is a fast-spreading variant and highly infectious, and will be dominant among the coronavirus infections in the Gaza Strip.
The Israeli blockade and multiple wars have had a devastating impact on the well-being of people in the tiny coastal sliver. The Israeli regime also maintains tight restrictions on the entry of humanitarian supplies, including medicines and hospital equipment, to combat COVID-19 and its variants. People in Gaza are bracing themselves for the worst following the local discovery of the Omicron variant.
The Gaza Strip's health system is fragile because of the Israeli blockade. We are afraid of Omicron because we know that it is extremely lethal. Gaza is not prepared for Omicron, and we are praying for a miracle.
The Ministry of Health in Gaza needs all the support it can get in order to combat this deadly variant. We don't have enough hospital beds or medicines because of the Israeli blockade. We call on all international organizations to help us combat the coronavirus, especially the Omicron variant.
The Israeli regime has compounded the risk of coronavirus infection for over 2 million Palestinians living in Gaza, making it extremely difficult to combat the deadly pandemic.
Israeli inhuman practices have battered Gaza's health system. Experts say that the Omicron variant will only worsen the health situation in the blockaded enclave. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. I'm Atar, the host of the program. This series of the program Viewpoints is produced by Brother Mahmoud. An analysis on the thoughts and most important speeches of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. With me in the studio are two guest speakers and panelists, religious experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and Brother Ali Alevian. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome. And Brother Ali Alevian, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaykum assalam, and thank you for having me here.
So, I again thank you for accepting our invitation to this program, Viewpoints. Okay, let's get to the main topic for today, as elaborated by Ayatollah Khamenei, Supreme Leader of Iran. A term which is very much controversial, but we want to clarify it for today, and that is, in Farsi, we say Islam Nabe Muhammadi, or the pure Muhammadan Islam. Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, what is pure Muhammadan Islam?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, this term pure Muhammadan Islam goes back to the pure Muhammadan Islam, definitely. And what do we mean is, we mean that the pure Islam that was brought by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after that he handed over the leadership of the Muslim Ummah to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wa salam, and from there onwards it went on to the A'imma, the infallible Imams that we have, and it has reached to us. That pure Islam is called pure Muhammadan Islam, which is free of, you can say, you know, the new thoughts that are provoking today, maybe or the changes that are made into the religion.
Okay.
So this pure Islam, which is pure and free of all these changes, this is called pure Muhammadan Islam. And obviously, we know that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran that, O believers, it's chapter Tawbah, verse number 119. Our listeners can go and refer to this verse. Okay. That Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. O believers, be God wary or do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be with the truthful people. On the other side, we have the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which Prophet said, Inni tarikum fikum thagalain kitab Allah wa itrati ahli bayti. I'm leaving amongst you two things. This is the pure Muhammadan Islam. The Prophet is leaving two things. Kitab Allah, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and itrati ahli bayti and my ahlul bayt.
Okay.
So this pure Islam that Rahbar is the supreme leader is referring to is towards this Islam, which has unity in it, which has basically do not make other people kafir. For example, we have some of the
excommunicating school, others.
Excommunicating others.
Yeah. These takfiri groups.
This Islam has unity in it.
Yeah.
With all your you can say difference of opinion.
Okay.
You should be united, and that's what we see in the Islamic Republic of Iran.
That's right.
And after the revolution, we see this unity, which has been taken from that pure Muhammadan Islam.
So, Brother Ali Alavian, what's your opinion on that? When we say pure Muhammadan Islam, the first question that comes to our mind is that, are we following nowadays the pure Muhammadan Islam? And you know that Prophet Muhammad's time and the infallible Imam's times have passed. Mm-hmm. And we do not have any, we can say, access to, we can say, the very presence of the pure personalities like Prophet and the Imam. So how is it possible to reach pure Muhammadan Islam nowadays?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. Very good and beautiful question that you asked. Thank you very much.
You're
for this
brother.
Good question. The Prophet actually is not dead, he's alive, and all the infallibles are alive. This is what Quran tells us. Those who died on the way of God, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنَّ رَبْهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. So first, this is with regard to, still they are alive and they are watching us, and they see all the martyrs or the good doers in the world, they are all alive. So when we talk that, for example, superficially, they have passed away. It means what their culture, whatever they have lived.
Their
is heritage is with us.
Yeah.
The Quran that the Prophet brought us.
Okay.
And the conduct and seerah of the Prophet is still with us. The conduct and behavior and seerah of the Ahlul Bayt and Ma'sumin and infallible Imams who succeeded the Prophet is with us. So actually, there is nothing left that we are in need of, and we don't have access to that.
Okay.
So the Prophet, his teachings, and also the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt and Falmul Imams are still alive.
But do you agree with me that different interpretations out of the Islam by different schools of thoughts? Did they take us away from the Islam and Nabi Muhammadi, pure Muhammad Islam?
Look, for pure Muhammad Islam, we have some criteria. We define those criteria and factors.
Okay,
in case we are close to them, it means that we are close to those.
So let's go
ideal Islam that we are after.
Okay.
And our judge will be the Quran. Our criteria will be the Quran. Mm-hmm. Based on the Quran, we shall define, pure Muhammad Islam. Let's see. For all the freedom seekers, all the Muslims who are after knowing what the pure Islam is, we can define these factors and criteria.
So what are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
First,
and these things you are saying are based upon the Rahbar's opinion.
Definitely. Part of actually these explanations have been mentioned by the leader of the Islamic Ummah, but a part of it actually is the interpretation explanations of my own.
Very good.
The teachings that we're after from the pure Muhammad Islam are directly taken from the Holy Prophet, and the Imams after him. So we should follow those teachings that come from the Holy Prophet. What are they? The Quran and the Sunnah. So Quran and the Sunnah, we can take it directly from that. So in this Muhammad, pure Muhammad in Islam, we take our actually instructions, our guidelines from this system. Second, there shouldn't be any distortion in the Quran and in its interpretation. Interpretation that comes from the whole matter of the Holy Prophet is accepted. Whatever comes from something, for example, that actually contradicts the Quran and the word of the Holy Prophet, we shall throw it on the wall. Mm-hmm. So it is not accepted. The Muhammadan, pure Muhammadan Islam is at the service of the oppressed and the deprived of the society and societies and the nations, not at the service of the tyrants of the time, not at the service of the oppressors of the time.
Okay.
So I think it's very easy for a Muslim, for a freedom seeker, to see who is oppressor in this world and who is oppressed. So we have to actually define this criteria for ourselves, mm-hmm. find it for ourselves. We need to ponder in this world. Who is the oppressor and who is the... I think if you ask, and if you ask every single Muslim in the world, who is the oppressor, they definitely know who is the oppressor and who is oppressed.
Who are they, brother?
Definitely. Who? I mean, those tyrant power that actually call themselves superpowers, and they are actually have put their legs on the neck of the Islamic nations. And they have made lots of war and tribulations and catastrophes in the Islamic world. Look, those who have made Iraq like this, those who were in Afghanistan and made Afghanistan a ruined country, those who were in Syria, those who came to Syria and did that with Syria, those who are in Yemen. So these are the tyrants of the time.
That's right.
So I think it's
so among the people you called, you know, the Muslims
and their main representative is the United States, mm-hmm. that actually is leading this tyrants and oppressors of the time.
I have to manage the time, so let's keep it over here. We can't say this Mustazafina, Mustakbirin, you know, the oppressors and also the oppressed ones, and get to Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. So according to Rahbar, the pure Muhammadan Islam, I mean the Islam of Muhammadi, must be the final hope of the Mustazafin, and we can say the Mahrumin, the oppressed one and the depressed one across the world. But Sayyid Mohsen, the question is posed is that today's policies and the politics across the world are very much different. And you are criticizing the political scene by a religious theme. How is it possible? I mean, you are using Islam in order to criticize, for example, politics, economics, or something like that.
First of all, this statement is a controversial statement. Why? Because Islam has politics within it, economics within it. So we cannot separate politics from Islam.
Okay.
The way we say, like, the Islam is opposing the politics, mm-hmm. or the politicians or a system. It's basically Islam has everything within it.
That's right.
And that's why when the Supreme Leader is referring to the pure Muhammadan Islam, he denies and he opposes the American Islam, for example, or the Britisher Shias. The Britisher Shias means like the MI6, like those who were promoted by the MI6. Like,
you mean they are funded by, for
funded
example,
by,
superpowers?
Yes,
okay.
By the superpowers.
Arrogant powers.
So there are the Sunnis who are funded by the American mm-hmm. government officials, and there are some Shias who are funded by the UK government, you can say.
Okay.
So these two are basically the enemies of these pure Muhammadan Islam.
But say it, from the other side, some people say that these are excuses.
No.
We Muslims ourselves did not follow Islam and Nabi Muhammadi, and now we are looking for excuses.
No. Muslims are following that.
Are they?
Yes, obviously. It's been transferred through like generations to us. It's not like it's been forgotten and from somewhere like the Supreme Leader is just bringing up something new.
Okay.
And he has find something new. It's been transferred through the generations to them. And now when we are trying to live according to this pure Muhammadan Islam, we have hurdles. And the enemies are basically trying to bring some hurdles in the shape of, for example, the American Sunnis, they're funded by the America, the CIA. Obviously, who are basically excluding everyone from the Islam, for example, the ISIS. Let me give you the examples,
right.
Like the ISIS, Taliban.
Yeah.
All right. We have these kind of people, or the you can see like there's a cow who basically the America milks, and the Houthi leader, he said like if the Saudi Arabia is a cow who America milks, then the UAE Khalifa is the goat. example, the American milks. So they are the same, obviously. They are working on the
These are not the satires that we use. The American president himself used it.
He used it, obviously. Okay. We're referring to
that.
There is a clear statement in the Quran.
Yes.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ أَوْلِيَا.
Yes.
O who you believe, do not make the Jews and the Christians your leader. Awliya means your leader or you can say guardian. And if you do so, you're amongst them and you're from the zalimin. You're from the oppressors.
Oppressors, that's right.
The reason is, in today's world, if you want to see that if someone is living according to the pure Muhammadan Islam or not, these are the criteria that are given or set by the Quran.
Inshallah, we will dedicate some of our sessions of this program, upcoming ones, to more aspects of the pure Muhammadan Islam, inshallah. Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, thank you very much. It was very kind of you. And Brother Ali Alevian, thank you very much too, brother.
Thanks to you, brother.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, I'm the host of the program Viewpoints, Ata, and this series of the programs was produced by Brother Mahmoud. Visit our website, parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page, also a YouTube page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi Amanullah.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. Through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine. When I'm out there in the darkest place, worn and tired, I can still see you illuminate all my skies. When it feels like I've fallen too far from you, they are guiding me through. Whenever I feel down, you can lift me up, turning my life around with your love. No matter how rough it gets, I can wear a smile, 'cause your mercy never dries, yeah.
Day of Insight and Allegiance with Leader. In the name of God, Salam and welcome to the program. On the 9th of the Iranian month of Day 1388, corresponding with December 30, 2009, the Iranian nation created a glorious epic, a multi-million strong epic in support of the ideals of the Islamic Revolution and the leader of the revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. This great day was the day of re-allegiance of the Ummah with the leader, and it remained in the book of the revolution like a golden page. This day has been named as the Day of Insight and Allegiance with Leader. Ayatollah Khamenei said on this day, "If this nation prostrates hundreds of times as a sign of gratitude for the bounty of this day, still it won't be enough." On such a day, millions of the Iranian people poured to the streets of Tehran and other cities in a spontaneous move to demonstrate their support for the leader, the Islamic Revolution, and their religious beliefs. After the presidential election in 2009 in Iran, the failed candidate tried to suggest that the election had been rigged and he was the president. It is astounding that even before counting the votes, he announced his victory at the ballot box, saying that the election would have no winner except him. This pre-planned scenario caused unrest in big cities, especially Tehran, and little by little resulted in vandalistic street riots, which ripped through different parts of the capital for almost 8 months. The failed candidate, along with a few of his cohorts, issued several statements claiming that a great rigging had occurred in the election and it should be nullified, though they had not a single document or evidence for their claim. Thus, they fanned the flames of a street mutiny and called on gullible youth to pour to the streets and chant slogans against the Islamic Revolution and the Islamic system. In the heat of these events, Ayatollah Khamenei invited the youth and the people to be insightful and recognize the hidden hands of the enemies behind the curtains. Then US President Barack Obama used to send provocative messages to the simple-minded youth, calling the seditionist instigators as the Iranian nation. The enemy of the Iranian nation, the child killer regime in Tel Aviv, together with its comrades in crime in Europe, especially Britain, very soon declared their support for the insurgents. With the heated up provocation of the Western media and the direction of the domestic hypocrites, the issue of rigging in the election transferred into targeting the very Islamic system and its sacred ideals. The slogans changed so that instead of the deeply rooted slogan in support of Palestine and Lebanon, there could be heard slogans against the Islamic system, the leader, and the cause of Palestine and Quds from the rioters. This small group that was directly directed from overseas had indeed targeted the very identity of the Islamic system and the Islamic Revolution. As the sinister goals of the riots were revealed, the Iranian nation became aware of the plots of the enemies and understood that the sworn enemies had planned serious schemes for overthrowing the system and defeating the revolution. In addition, the leader of the Islamic Revolution did his best to awaken the rioters on the one hand and dissuade the heads of seditionists, the failed candidate and his accomplices, to return to the nation and repent for their grave sins. However, none of these people accepted the leader's fatherly advice and continued their seditionist remarks and moves. The climax of disrespect to the Islamic sanctities took place in the Islamic month of Muharram, particularly on the day of Ashura, when several mourning gatherings and placards and mosques were set on fire to further lay bare the real face of the instigators and their masters. Therefore, the Iranian people lost their patience and stood against the seditionists and rioters in a very massive turnout. On the 30th of December 2009, just in Tehran, over 5 million people took to the streets to show their hatred towards disrespect of the Islamic sanctities and Imam Hussein, peace upon him. The nationwide turnout of the Iranian people on December 30, 2009 was purely for defending Islamic beliefs, the Islamic system, and the leader of the Islamic Revolution. As a matter of fact, the progressive principle of velayat-e-faqih, or authority of supreme jurisprudence, which currently is manifested by the leadership of Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, is the main pillar of the revolution. The Iranian people have many times seen that the Islamic revolution has moved through turbulent crises with the wise and prudent leadership of Imam Khomeini and Ayatollah Khamenei during over four decades of the revolution. They know it well that any measure to undermine the status of leadership is tantamount to undermining the authority of the infallible imams, and obedience of the leader is equal to obedience of God, the Prophet of Islam, and the infallible imams, blessings of God upon them. He is the guide towards sublimity and advancement within the framework of Islamic laws. The bond of the people with such a leader is an ideological bond which has its roots in their hearts. The rioters and their masters thought in vain that they could weaken this bond with rabble-rousing and obfuscating the climate. Quite opposite to what their wishful thinking, the Iranian people revised their allegiance with the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, and the ideals of the founder of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon his soul. On December of 2009, the Iranian nation proved that velvet revolutions will not work in Iran as long as they march in the footsteps of their leader. The color revolutions of Michael Ledin, Jane Sharp, and George Soros will not be effective in Iran. Ayatollah Khamenei said, "You saw that sedition was kicked up. Some works were done. Efforts were made. America defended the seditionist. Britain defended the seditionist. The Western powers, hypocrites, and kingdom seekers defended. But what was the result? The result was that against this magnitude of unblessed unity and convergence, our dear people, our great nation, on the 9th of day, on the 22nd of Bahman, demonstrated such a greatness that they bedazzled the world."
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Seventh Imam, Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salatu wa salam, is actually known as Bab al-Hawaij.
قال الإمام الكاظم عليه السلام خير الأمور أوسطها.
زيارة of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kazim alayhi salam.
السلام عليك يا مولاي موسى ابن جعفر ورحمة الله.
This is Dialogue, a program on the famous conversations of Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome, dear listeners. I'm your host, Mahdi, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam. Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kazim alayhi salam was the direct descendant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and Imam al-Kazim was also the seventh divinely appointed Imam from among the household of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We find that the biographers of Muslim history have unanimously agreed that Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam was the greatest of the people when it came to obeying and worshipping Allah the Almighty. What is interesting is that these biographers have also written that Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam suffered through many tortures and pains. He suffered through many hardships and trials and tribulations. For example, he was put into dark and isolated prisons. In these prisons, some which were incredibly small, no bigger than the size of two or three people put together. But in these dark prisons, it is written in the history books that Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam was tortured. And despite these tortures and trials and tribulations, those same biographers have written that Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam was the greatest of the people in obeying and worshipping Allah. And these biographers have written that Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam was so great in his obedience and his worship and his ibadat and his ubudiyah of Allah, the Mighty, the Exalted, to the extent that he had calluses like that on the knees of a camel, upon his head or upon his knees, because of the great extent and the great number and the length of his prostrations, his sujood for Allah, the Mighty, the Exalted. These, dear friends, are the dialogues of Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam.
قال الإمام الكاظم عليه السلام: من ذكر رجلا من خلفه بما هو فيه مما عرفه الناس لم يغتبه، ومن ذكره من خلفه بما هو فيه مما لا يعرفه الناس اغتابه.
Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam stated, "He who talks about someone behind his back, mentioning what is true about him and what people already know, then he has not backbite about him. Whereas he who talks about someone behind his back, about something that is true, but that people do not know about, then he has backbit about him."
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's great to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. In the beautiful conversations that we find in the historical texts, which are related to the seventh divinely appointed Imam, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kadhim alayhi salam, we find in one of these places that in this conversation, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far advises his son to be earnest in his affairs and to be cautious of laziness. When advising his son, we find in this conversation that Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kadhim says to his son, "Beware of laziness and boredom, for they prevent you from your share in this world and your share in the next." And so Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, we find, was opposed to laziness. He was opposed to being unemployed and not caring about it. And of course, he did not like the people who had these kind of qualities, because these qualities of laziness and boredom and not caring whether you have a job or not, and not caring whether you provide for your family or not, these kind of qualities, they lead to poverty, they lead to lowliness, and they lead to losing the self-respect that one has. Furthermore, it can be said that whoever has these kind of qualities of laziness and not caring for these things and being ignorant and careless and neglectful, this kind of individual is regarded to be among the dead, because they neither think nor they contemplate about their life. And so in this conversation between his son and himself, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far says, "Beware of laziness, beware of boredom, beware of not being active in your life, because your share in this world is attained and acquired and achieved via being active. And of course, your share in the next world, in the hereafter, in the akhirah, is also obtained by being active." This is Dialogue, Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, the program Dialogue. I'm Attar, the producer of this program, and at this moment I want you to listen to a shorter speech by Shaykh Abbas Mirza about Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam.
You know, one of the names that we call him is Kazim, which means that comes from Kazm. He would refrain from getting disappointed or upset or angry. He would control his anger. وَكَازِمِينَ الْغَيْثِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَلِ النَّاسِ, as the Quran says, that he would control the anger and he will afi, he will forgive the people, always forgiving. And it really reflects that how mazloom the Imam was. Majority of the time of his life he left in very dead and dreadful and dark prisons. History is self-evidence, where we, when we visit Baghdad, those who have the opportunity to visit Baghdad and those who have visited these prisons, you could find that these prisons, when a person enters to these historical sites of the prisons of the Imam, one is unable to even stand up properly. One is unable to really stand up properly. You know, that's how Imam was praying there, in those sort of very thin, low roof prisons. Imagine how he might have been breathing there.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at farstoday.com/EN, Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many others as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all. أنت يا بدر المدينة خير خلق الله يا من قد جئت فينا بالهدى والحب دينا أنت يا
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Albino animals are rare and very vulnerable. So when you find one, you need to make sure they get all the care they need to survive. And now, Colombian vets are doing all they can to help the very first case of an albino baby, Jaguarundi, that's been rescued there. Fire department volunteers rescued this female cub in the urban areas of the Abora Valley region. The vets are now giving it primary medical attention. The baby Jaguarundi will then be transferred to a conservation park in the city of Medellin for more protection. A local expert explains why they cannot put back the animal into the wild.
At this point, this animal cannot be released to the wild due to its albino condition. It is predisposed to certain health disorders, certain disadvantages when performing in the wild. Therefore, the only alternative for it is to end his life in a park such as this.
Albino animals face many difficulties in the wild and struggle with basic survival skills. They do not have good eyesight, and due to their lack of pigmentation, they cannot camouflage. Therefore, just like endangered species, human monitoring would increase their chances of survival.
Swimming in sub-zero temperatures can be unimaginable for most people, but not for a group of athletes who've tested their skills and strength in Prague's Vltava River. 360 people from 8 countries gathered in the Czech capital to participate in an annual winter swimming event. The air temperature was minus 6 degrees Celsius, with water temperatures dipping to as low as 3 degrees. The event honors Alfred Nikodem, the Czech swimmer who braved the frigid waters in Prague for the first time in 1923, starting a tradition that has been kept alive ever since. Now the world's most powerful observatory is finally on its million-kilometer journey after several technical delays. The NASA telescope named James Webb blasted off into orbit on Saturday, heading to an outpost that's 1.5 million kilometers away from Earth. The observatory was in the making for some 3 decades and cost about $10 billion. It left Earth enclosed in a rocket and from a launch pad in South America. The journey will last a month. The telescope is the size of a tennis court. And if everything goes according to plan, it will enter service in June. Astronomers are hoping they can learn more about the origins of the universe once it starts beaming back new clues. A school in Spain is offering students an opportunity to join a special orchestra. The project dubbed The Music of Recycling brings unwanted junk back to life by transforming them into musical instruments. And here is how they sound. The project offers the instruments to the orchestra in one of Madrid's most disadvantaged neighborhoods. The students say the orchestra keeps them away from mischief and out of serious trouble while giving them an artistic outlet. Several dozens of children are taking music classes for members of the orchestra as part of the project. The ensemble has put on several concerts across Spain, but because of the pandemic, they had to pause their performances. The project is run by a Spanish environmental group and is inspired by a similar orchestra in Paraguay. To most people, an eggshell is something that gets tossed in the garbage, but to one Chinese artist, the delicate eggshell is the chosen canvas to express art and create mini masterpieces. Zhu is a talented craftsman who has created a series of unique egg sculptures with the theme of Beijing's Winter Olympic and Paralympic Games. Icons of ice and snow sports, as well as etchings of the 2022 Olympic mascots, are showcased in this series. The thin and delicate texture of the shells adds to the difficulty of the craft, which creates a sense of fragile beauty. Zhu says his fascination with eggshell art started when he was very young.
The Christmas season is when people around the world left out a dose of joy in the form of Santas. But it's different in central Thailand on this Christmas Eve. Thai children were ecstatic to see Santa Claus's distributing presents, but this time in the shape of elephants. Dressed in Santa costumes, five elephants carried dolls, face masks, and sanitizers for students. They were surrounded by many human Santa Clauses as well. But the students cheered with joy while reaching out for presents from the jumbos. Event managers say their goal was to encourage students to stay vigilant during the pandemic, plus they wanted to give the children some fun to look forward after months of virtual classes. The event is a yearly highlight for a school that caters to students from kindergarten to secondary level.
Scientists have made a stunning discovery inside a fossilized dinosaur egg. An embryo that's been preserved in a perfect shape. The embryo was found inside a 66-million-year-old fossil in a museum in the Chinese city of Guangzhou. Paleontologists say it's the best dinosaur embryo ever found. They're hoping it would help a lot in finding the links between modern birds and dinosaurs. The fossil belongs to a toothless Oviraptorosaur, a group of feathered dinosaurs that used to live in what's now Asia and North America. The embryo is nicknamed Baby Yinliang after the Chinese museum that houses the fossil.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
After almost 2 years of isolation due to the coronavirus pandemic, Mexicans are once again celebrating Christmas together in a fair in the capital, Mexico City. Here's more.
It is a joy that we've been planning for a long time to go out and to take this picture because we've been locked up for 2 years and we couldn't go out. Now there's green light. We decided to go out with the whole family to live these moments together.
A few things are different in the fair as far as Mexican tradition goes. Santa and not the traditional three wise men give out presents. Families also have their photos taken by the Father Christmas. These are rare moments amid the coronavirus pandemic. The attendees say the situation is complicated, but they will try their best to make it work. The festival has been made possible by the introduction of green passes, which indicate full vaccination against COVID.
Exchanging gifts is an inseparable and also the most joyful part of Christmas traditions. How about sharing the joy with animals? Now, a zoo in the Colombian city of Cali is doing so by giving presents to its animals. The presents are actually the animals' favorite foods served in a different way. Animals spend time unpacking the gifts decorated in Christmas theme and then access the food they like the most. Feeding in this way arouses the animals' curiosity and fills them with excitement. Zookeepers say they want to show that animals always receive care at their zoo.
It is a very cool way to generate empathy for visitors. Although animals do not know that it's Christmas or that it's a special date, it is important to generate that message in visitors that we make care of our animals and that for us it is important to share with them this Christmas season.
The zookeepers say they make use of enrichment strategies for their initiative. They actually stimulate the behaviors of a range of animals, even the species they keep in an aquarium. Running a marathon is pretty tough for most, but a group of people has upped the ante to take the competition to sub-zero temperatures of Antarctica. 62 people descended on the Union Glacier from around the world and ran over a 42-kilometer course. The area is just a few hundred kilometers from the South Pole. Soft snow and temperatures as low as minus 15 degrees Celsius did not stop Latvia Evia Rain from setting a women's record. The event was delayed for several days because of a massive storm that battered the area a week ago. Adventurers and athletes have been putting their strength to the test in the race every year since 2005. A tiny baby mouse deer takes its first steps into the world with a round body and spindly legs in a Polish zoo. It was born on December 2nd and now stands roughly 10 centimeters tall. The Warsaw Zoo got its first mouse deer last year and a second one last summer. Zoo staff are surprised that the pair of new arrivals have produced offspring so quickly. Mouse deer are among the smallest mammals. Even as adults, they only weigh around 2 kilograms. Contrary to their name, they are neither from mouse nor from deer species. Some mammalogists consider them living fossils because they haven't evolved much over millennia. Beachgoers in Brazil's Rio de Janeiro have been surprised by very rare visitors, a family of orcas. The family of three was seen swimming in shallow waters of a crowded beach south of the city. The group didn't seem to care at all about the presence of people on their paddleboards. Footage of the orcas quickly spread on social media because they didn't usually come that close to the coast. A local biologist says the whales were likely to drawn. They were likely drawn to the area by a cold current from further south.
What we see in the video is a family group that has a male and a female who have a calf.
It is common that the orcas come from a colder current where there is also a shoal, and they reach the south, the north in fact, and end up hitting our coast. Then they rest in warmer waters such as Copacabana Beach, Ipanema Beach, and Barra de Tijuca.
The biologist says the mammals pose no risk to humans despite the label killer whales. He says there is no record of their attacks on humans. Researchers suspect that the migration patterns of whales could be influenced by climate change and the resulting changes in water temperatures. Serving customers in a high-tech way. That's what a traditional restaurant in the German state of Bavaria does. What's the goal? The owner explains.
We decided ourselves for this robot because of the lack of staff. Looked for support in a technological form. It's not a replacement, of course, but it's a relief for the waiters.
The robot is equipped with a trolley and it can easily move around in the restaurant. When it comes to saving time, the high-tech waiter is of great help, especially when the restaurant is packed with customers. The owner says most customers first become surprised when they come across the robot. He says waiters are still present to serve meals and receive orders. Butterfly gardens are a place where you can watch these tiny creatures and marvel at their beauty. But have you ever wondered where these butterflies come from? These colorful creatures are in fact bred in butterfly farms. And Donald Orsay from Costa Rica is one of the biggest breeders, making that the mission of his life. He produces somewhere around 2,500 pupas per week. Arce is one of the world's largest exporters of the popular Morpho species. Listen to him explain why he is fascinated by them.
A Morpho has a great advantage. It is a butterfly that rarely stays still, unless it is very late, because when it is getting dark, it settles down, but normally it flies constantly. It flies by in the butterfly gardens.
Arce's butterflies have their own special diet. They feed on bananas and a concoction that he keeps its ingredients secret. Morphos are popular because of their color. They are shimmering blue on one side and brown on the other side. That's perfect for camouflage. Butterflies are really fun to watch, but they serve a critical purpose as well. They help plants reproduce by pollination, thus strengthening the ecosystem.
A few hooks and a shelf have transformed a wall in the Swedish capital, Stockholm, into an outdoor charity. It's called the Wall of Kindness, which is painted with the slogan, "Grab a jacket if you need one, leave a jacket if you can spare one." Here, people can donate their winter clothes or warm boots if they have some extra. The Wall of Kindness is meant to help those in need, including the homeless, to stay warm. The wall was set up by a real estate company, and the organizer says people have responded positively with the high turnover. The move was inspired by a trend that has been seen in Iran over the years. Several other countries across the world, such as India, have also organized similar outdoor charities.
IRIB English Radio.